Good morning to each of you. I greet you in Jesus' name. What a blessing to be here. And I really appreciated that last song. Very meaningful, thinking of the power of the Word of God. And that last verse really spoke to me. Spirit and life are they. And then the last phrase is, heeding thy holy word, I win the strife. So we can find victory through the Word. So this morning, we are looking at lessons 7 and 8 in our workbook that we're going through, Personal Life Management. And I won't ask for a raise of hands. I will just assume that everyone has read through the lessons completely, has everything filled out, and ready to discuss and learn. So, very powerful lessons that we have thinking about relationships, and very thought-provoking. As I went through this, there's a lot of thoughts that are very deep, and thinking about how we view relationships. In one way, it's just part of life. We meet people, we build friendships, some better than others, and I think as humans we're wired for relationships. And even though it seems some people feel that need more than others, you have people persons and some maybe more introverts, and there's varying approaches that people have. But lesson 7 brings out a category of viewing relationships that the last three principles of our book will build on. And so the principles that we have looked at, the first three focus on our relationship to self. How are we managing our own personal lives? And then principle 4 was relating to God, and consecration and devotion to God. And the last three are looking at relationships with other people. And it brings out the concept of viewing relationships as a social bank account. And it's a very interesting concept, and I can't say I've ever quite thought about it like this before, but it's comparing it to a bank account, and we know how bank accounts work. We put in money for safekeeping, and then when we want to withdraw, we have the money that we can get. It's there when we need it, and we always want to have our deposits a little bit higher than our withdrawals, because if we try to withdraw more than we put in, we get declined. There's insufficient funds, and maybe some of us have experienced that. I know just this last week on our trip, I had an experience where my credit card was declined. And sale declined. I couldn't use it. And I think it was an issue with being on a trip, and sometimes they shut things down on location. Thankfully, I had another card to make that work. But we need to have sufficient deposits if we want to make withdrawals. And the comparison is made with seeing our relationships as a social bank account, thinking about investing and depositing into the lives of others, and building relationships. So we're putting something there for safekeeping. And so deposits and withdrawals in a relationship. And how does that work? You know, it can be our attitude towards other people. Our actions and our words can be like deposits or withdrawals. And it can happen just in simple conversations, the little things that can make a difference. And there's actually a list on page 38. If you have your books, you can look at page 38. And point number 3 there in the class discussion, it gives a list of deposits, how we can build relationships. And it's just a lot of little things, sincere apologies if needed, understanding, making an effort to understand, keeping commitments, clarify expectations, and so on there. So that's how we can put deposits in our relationships, when we're attentive to things like that. And sometimes our attitude or behavior can be damaging to a relationship. It's like a withdrawal because we're asking something of the other person, maybe asking to overlook our poor attitude or our failure to remember something. And sometimes we find that doesn't work too well and we get told off or we get into an argument and there's maybe some trust that's removed. So our goal is to build a good, solid relationship. And I think at the end, that's the goal. We want to build relationships with the people that we meet. And that's one of the best assets that we can have. And I've heard said that the one of the best investments that you can make is investing in other people. So I'm going to read the introductory statement, the purpose statement right under the title. It says, healthy interpersonal relationships are a key factor in living a life of fulfillment. When we enjoy the people around us, we enjoy life. And when we are frustrated by those around us, then life loses its meaning. This lesson highlights the concept of deposits, thinking of relationships as a social bank account where we endeavor to put in more than we withdraw. And we'll learn not only the value of deposits, but how to make them and to avoid making withdrawals. And it says, when we make sufficient deposits, we achieve fellowship. And the symptoms of fellowship are it's easy to share. It's obvious that both parties trust each other and mistakes are easily corrected. So that's the goal. Solid relationships where that is evidenced. Thinking of the thoughts to ponder there, the one that stood out to me is number three. Are my problems in my relationships because I drain people of goodwill by my selfishness? And am I a drain? Sometimes we know people who are just a drain because they are always withdrawing through their attitude, their actions, and something to think about. Am I being that person? Am I a drain? Because we want to develop good relationships. We don't want to be a drain to others. And one other thing I want to point out before I get into the verses that they have listed here is the idea of natural law versus what I will call biblical agape deposits. And a lot of this material that we see is simply following natural law of relationships. And when I say natural law, I think of something that's just built into the world. And you think of gravity, it's just a law that we all have to work around. We can deny gravity, but you walk off the roof, you're still gonna fall down. And it's true for relationships. There's a natural law that's there. Proverbs 18:24 is true. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there's a lot of non-Christian people that understand the laws of relationship as well. And it's, you know, it's biblical in the sense that it aligns with truth. And if we follow those laws, we are going to have good relationships. And if we go against that, we're going to suffer the consequences of that. We find that problems come up. So I think for a Christian, we should be going further than just the natural law. You know, we do need natural law. We need to understand how to base our relationships, the tips that they give there. We do need that. I mean, I think we all need reminders different times. There's weaknesses that we have to remind ourselves on how we can do better looking at these tips that they have. But as Christians, I think we should be moving beyond that into agape love deposits. And you can think of it as putting in more than we get out. Maybe like a savings account rather than a checking account. You know, a checking account, you're constantly pulling out and putting in. The savings account is putting in with the idea of leaving it there, letting it grow. So why don't we get into our verses here that they have listed for us. Think of a biblical perspective on deposits. So the first one that they have listed there is in Mark 10. Jesus called to them, and he saith unto them, "You know that they which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So, why do we do this? Why don't we just get all that we can, keep the balance as close to zero as we can, thinking of a bank account, view relationships as getting what we can? And I think first and foremost is following Jesus' example. We see the example of Jesus choosing to be a servant. You know, he could have exercised authority, and that's the example of says the Gentiles, they exercise lordship, but Jesus came to serve, and he chose to be a servant. And for him, it was not about getting something back to make good friends, but he had a greater purpose with the deposits that he made. So I think for us, are we making deposits to get something back, or do we have a greater purpose in serving? Do we have something that we want to pass on like Jesus did? The next one, Luke chapter 6, verse 31. "And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." So here we have the golden rule. So why should we want to do this? You know, if we treat somebody in a way that we know we wouldn't want to be treated, it's like a withdrawal. And it starts a cycle, and the other person thinks, well, if they're going to act like that, well, I'm not going to do too much for them. And it's a cycle that builds and eventually weakens a relationship. But when we follow the golden rule, treat others with consideration, we'll look at in our next chapter, it starts a positive cycle that strengthens and builds a relationship. The next passage is Acts 20, verse 35, and it says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." That's a verse we've heard before. It's more blessed to give than to receive, and it's one we like to, you know, tell our children. You know, they shouldn't always be looking to get something. But how is this true? And I think one basic reason is in the idea that we're putting in deposits into a relationship, and we're gaining assets. And you can think about it as a long-term investment versus a short-term indulgence, you could say. Somebody is putting in for the future, building that bank account, making a good investment. I think if you look at it that way, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The next one, Romans 15, and verses 1 to 3. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." And I do think there's a bigger context here. If you look at the surrounding verses, these categories of strong and weak are talked about a lot more in the surrounding context. And I didn't look into that a whole lot to determine those categories there. What exactly that means for the strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. But sometimes that is needed, to bear the infirmities of the weak around us. And I think if we focus on verse 2, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Are we seeking the good in others to edify? And again, the example of Jesus is given. Christ pleased not himself. The next one, Ephesians 4. And Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. And it's an interesting thought that they bring out about how you tell if a thief has truly changed. And we might have heard the phrase before, once a thief, always a thief. There's some people that believe that. And looking here, the question they ask, how do you tell if a thief has sincerely changed and is no longer a thief? It's if they are working to provide and give to others. The difference is laboring to give. Are we quick to give? And James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So visiting widows and orphans, building relationships, you will see it's very highly elevated. And it's not just with anyone, but specifically those who are vulnerable and oftentimes forgotten. The fatherless and widows, people that won't necessarily be able to give back. So it's not not like a checking account where you can get stuff back if you put in, but a savings account where you are putting in without necessarily receiving anything back. And then Proverbs 18, I mentioned that before, 18:24, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So it goes along with the golden rule. If you want friends, you need to be a friend. And it's very much a natural law. And we want to make deposits, not withdrawals. Use common sense. And sometimes we might not even realize how we're coming across to others. And there was one other passage that I had thought about in thinking of this idea of deposits. And the parable of the unfaithful steward came to my mind. And it's found in Luke chapter 16, and it's one that maybe it's a little hard to understand. We see a steward who was found being unfaithful with his master's resources. And his master finds out about it, and he says, okay, you're going to lose your job, and you've been unfaithful, that's it. So he finds out about this, and what's he going to do? He doesn't want to beg, and he's out of a job now. And he was very shrewd. What he did was he went to all his master's debtors, those who owed his master, and said, well, how much do you owe? You know, just write down half. And basically cheating his master out of even more resources. And we look at what his master does. He commends him for his dishonesty. And sometimes we can scratch our heads at how dishonesty and wasting resources is commended. And why was he commended if he wasn't honest? And I think there's a lot there. If you dig down into it, part of it's our view of money. Are we free in giving what God has given us? But I think just as much is the importance of making deposits. And it's interesting what Jesus says at the end. Luke 16:9, he says, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into their everlasting habitations. So we see this steward making deposits with somebody else's resources. So there are a lot of passages that we can look at thinking about relationships and putting in deposits. And it's a lot we can learn from that. That's just skimming over those. We didn't look into those in depth. But I want to move on now to the class discussion section. And thinking about how to build good relationships, because that's the goal of the lesson, building good relationships. How can we do that? The first guideline that they give there, public deposits must be based on private discipline. And it has to come from our private discipline, or I would say character. Our character will show in the way that we build relationships. And people are different. Some people are better at making friends. They're just naturally good at connecting with people. But I think all of us have different areas that we need to work on. And that comes from private discipline if we want to further better our relationships. And it gives a picture of what a good relationship looks like. The section two there, marks of a good relationship where trust is evidenced. People trust each other. Mistakes are allowable. Communication is easy. And emotions are permissible. You can be yourself. That's a mark of a good relationship. That's what we're looking for. And as I look through this list of deposits that they have, a lot of it is just basic tips for being polite and respectful, and things that you might read in Proverbs, you know, how you can better your relationships. And I think we can add to this list from the verses that we looked at, thinking of going above and beyond to agape deposits. The verse from James, visiting the fatherless and widows, visiting those in need. That's something you need to go out of your way for. And Romans 15, bearing the infirmities of the weak, maybe helping somebody who might not deserve it. And being known more for giving than receiving. Do we have that reputation? And most importantly, following the example of Jesus and putting in deposits and serving, not wanting to exercise authority, but choosing to serve. And not to get something back, but to pass something on, passing a vision on. Are we following through with that call from Scripture to make agape love deposits? So it doesn't specifically mention withdrawals, but I think you could just take the opposite of what's given for the deposits, and that would be a withdrawal. So maybe an insincere apology or forgetting commitments and maybe interrupting and different things that would be a withdrawal. And each time we fail, it's like making a withdrawal, and it strains the relationship. So the last section there, applying the lesson application, and talks about the difference between flattery and a genuine deposit. And it gives a verse from Proverbs there, he that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. So there's a difference between flattery and a genuine deposit. You know, flattery is just telling somebody what they want to hear, even though it might not be totally truthful. It's a little disingenuous, and it might help. In the short term, we might, maybe we're trying to get something, we might get what we want through flattery, but it is not a good long-term strategy. It's not a good long-term investment, because sooner or later the truth will come out, and it's going to be end up being a withdrawal. The deposits are all about long-term investment. And they give you a little exercise there that you can do, making it practical, thinking about relationships that you have, and they even have a place to put a date. So do that exercise, thinking practically about deposits that we can make. And number four, just thinking about an experience. I'll skip over that. Go to number five, thinking about a time that we might think we're making a deposit, but it is not received as such. And I think this can happen, and probably a result of differing personalities. And sometimes the golden rule, what we think is good, people take a little bit differently. It doesn't always work, and that's because people think differently, people appreciate different things, and sometimes even good intentions are misunderstood. And you can't avoid all of that, but one thing you can do is learn from the experience. Apologize if needed, and remember that. And I think that goes a long way if we can learn from those types of experiences. So I think I'll conclude with the deposits lesson, and we'll move on to lesson eight. Lesson eight, we're looking at principle five in our seven principle look through principles for life. We have number five here, and that is of consideration. And this is the first principle in our relationships with others. How can we manage our lives through our relationships? So has anybody heard of the character from Greek mythology called Narcissus? Anybody heard that? So Narcissus, and it's an old ancient Greek story, but Narcissus was a man who rejected everybody else because he had a very high view of himself, and nobody else was good enough. And there's a story told of one day he was on a hunting trip, and he bent over to take a drink from a pool of water, and he saw his reflection in the water, and he was just he fell in love with his own reflection, and he just couldn't stop looking at himself. And eventually he realized it's just a reflection, and he fell into despair after that. And it's an interesting story, and that's where we get our word narcissism from, people who are just obsessed with themselves. And that story is the extreme. Obviously, I don't think any of us are quite that bad, or I should say near that bad. So that's the extreme of self-focus, just focused on ourselves and what we are, what we can do. But that's a pattern that we want to overcome. We look at the subtitle for this lesson. It says, Overcoming Patterns of Self-Focus and Using Others for Selfish Purposes. So I'll read the purpose statement here for this lesson. It says, it's only natural for us to think first about how we feel. The question is, do we ever really get around to thinking how life looks from the viewpoint of our neighbor? Good relationships are built when we give consideration to the feeling of our fellow man. This lesson is to highlight how this can be done as a way of life. So consideration, and it's a really simple thing, yet so hard to remember when our interests are at stake. And they give some thoughts to ponder there to get our minds thinking about consideration. Do I really value and esteem my neighbor as myself? So we're looking at the second greatest commandment that Jesus gave. Greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. And their wording is value and esteem. Do we consider our neighbor? How would I feel if I were in his shoes? How can we both achieve our goals in this present conflict so that it can be mutually beneficial? How can we both get what we want? And, you know, I see that in my children. There's oftentimes conflict and conflicting interests. And it's interesting to hear them work out solutions. You know, I try to give them guidance on how to solve their problems, and I see them, you know, try to work that out on their own. And it's interesting, there's definitely some manipulation and intimidation going on sometimes, like we see in that the next thought to ponder. Do I have patterns of manipulation or intimidation? So as I listen in, there's some of that going on, trying to work things out for their good, but get the other person to agree to it. But I think there are times when I hear them working things out and there's a genuine attempt to make it work for both, and that's always a blessing to hear. And I do get some rewarding conversations that I can overhear. But it's human nature to seek our own interests. And this principle is about overcoming that self-focus. We don't want to be a narcissist, but we want to be able to consider others. Let's look into the verses that they have given here. Biblical perspective, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So here again, the golden rule. And it's important to remember when considering others, what would I want done to me in this situation? Am I using the same standard for others that I want applied to my own life? Romans 12:15 and 16, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So here we're thinking about empathy. And empathy, like it says, is entering into the feelings of others. What is it like to see something through their eyes? Sometimes that can be really hard. Sometimes it means condescending, and not in a negative way, but just coming down to somebody's level, where they're at. And I think it becomes easier as we experience more of life's ups and downs, and we know what certain things feel like. And it's easier to empathize if we know, if we've been through that before. There's, yeah, sometimes we just want to give an answer, fix the problem. But it says, be not wise in your own conceits. It's not just about fixing the problem, but empathizing, seeking to understand. 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 24. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. There are some things that we don't do that we easily could because it does not edify. It doesn't build others up, and that's not easy to do. If we're giving up something that we could do, that we want to do, but we give it up because it's not edifying, are we seeking the good of others? Very powerful statement in verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth, considering others. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 4. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So there is a lot in these verses, and I don't have the time to go through everything. But one phrase that stands out to me every time I read through this is in verse 3. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And I think that's a cure for the question that's listed there. How can we be humble when we think that we're doing pretty good, that our accomplishments are pretty outstanding? Are we looking for the good in others? Are we esteeming others better than themselves? Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another man praise you and not your own lips." And there's an example that Val Yoder gave several years ago. We were at Minister's Week, and a very powerful illustration about digging for gold in others. And he used the illustration of getting to know people. It's like some people use the illustration of an onion. You know, you peel back the different layers. But he used the illustration of soil and going down through the layers. You have the topsoil on the top, and it's getting to know basic information about a person. And as you get to know them better, you get to the subsoil. And there's where you might encounter some things that aren't very nice with the person. And you realize there are flaws and shortcomings, but he says you got to keep going past that and get to the bedrock, the foundation where Jesus lives. And that is where we find the true gold, the true character that we're looking for, and thinking of seeking the good in others. And he gave the illustration of two different mines, iron mines, that are in his area in Minnesota. The one is an open pit mine where they just collect right off the top and they're looking for iron ore. And he went through both of these mines. The open pit mine, it was not as refined. And he said only about 20 to 25% of what they collected was useful, and the rest they had to throw out. And several miles away, there was a different type of mine, and it was one that we think of when we think of mines. You go down into the underneath and to a shaft about a quarter mile below the surface. And he said he went down in there, and it was just almost pure iron for the walls. And they said it's about 90 to 95% iron. But it was no longer in use. The mine wasn't being used anymore. And he's asking his tour guide, well, why are we letting this go? This is the valuable iron deposit right here. This is what you want, 95% iron. Why are we wasting time over scratching the surface for 20% of iron? And the tour guide gave him an answer. He said, well, because it's too much work to go to all the work of going down deep in and getting the good stuff. And he made the connection to our relationships. So often it's easy to just spend time on the surface, and we get all the unrefined portions, and we get some of the rough edges, you could say. But it takes work to get down to the depth where there's the refined character. So are we looking and digging for the gold deep down in, not just on the subsoil level, but going down deep? So that was Philippians 2. I need to move on here. James talks about fulfilling the royal law, and again, looking at the second greatest commandment. With respect of persons, we commit sin if we show partiality. That's a whole other discussion there, that our country is trying to figure out, how do you get people to be impartial? So as we think about our principle of consideration, it applies to everybody. We should not be partial. And then finally, 1 John chapter 3. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So John here is talking about the proof of knowing if we're living in the light, if we are passed from death to life, and that's in our willingness or our love for the brethren, and that's demonstrated by our willingness to lay down our lives for each other. And you could look at this as giving up our physical life, but I think also it means laying down our desires and our interests for the good of others, considering others. And here again, we see that we're following God's example. So there's a whole lot that we could look at, the biblical case for considering others. And as with anything in life, it's easy to talk about it, look at it on paper. It's a lot harder to implement in real life. And there's so many scenarios that come up, and there's complexity in the way that people relate to each other. But I think it comes down to living by wisdom with this principle of consideration, guiding our decisions and keeping close the willingness to lay down our interests if needed. And we can see that laid out pretty clearly with those passages. So class discussion section, the main way that this principle comes into play is when there are conflicting interests, when there's conflict, and that happens all the time. How do we resolve conflict? And it gives us several areas to consider. The first point there, are we considering the other person, how they feel presently, physically or emotionally? Are they tired, stressed out? How does that play into the conflict? How their belief system might vary. And this can be a big challenge. You start talking to somebody and you realize pretty soon on that there's not a lot in common. And you have to figure out how that plays into what you're trying to resolve. Personality difference. People interpret things differently based on personality. And what are their goals? What do they want? Do we know what they're looking for? Usually we know what we're looking for. Do we consider their viewpoint? So they give a graph that goes over different ways that we can, approaches that we can bring into conflict resolution, and we can bring in this perception maybe without even thinking about it. So you have two scales. You have a courage scale, and then you have a consideration scale. And basically the courage scale is how much am I willing to share my own opinion? Am I right there with my opinion, sharing what I want? And then the consideration is how much am I willing to hear the other person's viewpoint? And I think it's helpful to look at this and to help us think about what kind of approach we bring to the conflicts that we encounter. And it's not a perfect graph, but it helps us think about the different ways. And obviously we want to get to the I win, you win category. And that's considering others, but also presenting our side and working out a solution that works for both of us. And our personality can play a big part in that. Some people are really aggressive in getting what they want. They're forward with what they want. And other people might be more laid back and passive. Think about our approach and the other person's approach. We want to end up with a win-win. And it is important to note the comment below. This is only for relationships where both parties want what is legitimate. It is not intended to remedy a situation where authority is being challenged or where an authority does not want to take responsibility. So that's another aspect there. If that happens, the right response is not a blend of interests, but a true respect of authority or use of authority. All right, the requirements to achieve, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time there, but I do want to point out the abundance mentality. And a lot of times we view conflict resolution as either me getting what I want and you not getting what you want, I win, you lose, or and I lose and you win. It's either or. But do we have an abundance mentality where even if I give up my interest here, I can still make it up somewhere else? So consideration, one of the ways that we can build strong relationships, and it's such an important part of life. And I know there was a lot in these lessons here. Went over it fast and I went over time. But hopefully this lesson can be helpful to us as we think about our relationships and building good relationships, putting in deposits where we need to rather than withdrawals. And there's a lot of practical tips that we can use, but at the same time, it still takes the hard work of putting it into practice. So I'll close with Romans 12:18. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And I hope that's our desire, to live peaceably, to have good, strong relationships. And may God give us wisdom as we pursue that. So let's all stand and have a closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can spend looking into your word and seeing the biblical perspective on relationships and what you want from us to be willing to sacrifice and to put in the deposits that we need. I pray that you would help us all in that journey as we pursue that goal of building strong relationships and going past just this natural law of relationships, but going further into investing and building our social bank account. Pray that you would guide us as we go from here. Help us to honor you with the lives that we live and put into practice what you have shown us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.